This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on yet another Groovy Tuesday. Gregory, I'm here in a new booth with you. How are you today?
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for asking. What did I just say?
You said thank you very much. Thank you for asking.
I'm very good. Thank you for asking.
It's a pleasure. You know, we got kicked out of our regular booth downstairs. The air conditioning down there is broken, and so the folks here at Centennial College were kind enough to be worried about our health and safety and moved us to cooler waters, you could say.
It's a little spacious up here.
I don't know.
I like being closer to you.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? I mean, the gulf between us will be bridged by music, won't it?
Fair enough.
So the theme today, Gregory, being the producer, I think I should give you the honors. What's our theme today?
Our theme today is cover songs.
Cover songs. What a great theme for the day.
We have a very, very eclectic collection of music today.
We do. And you know what, Greg? I think that considering, I mean, we've only had two shows before this, but from what we've done so far, this was my hardest sort of selection process. I had a very hard time picking songs for this.
It was, you know what, it was difficult. I was sitting in bed last night and I was just thinking, I was like, well, I'm forgetting so many. Like,
yeah.
I'm actually going to be forgetting Rage Against the Machine did a whole album of covers.
Yes.
Which is very unique because they kind of changed songs up, which is what I like about covers.
Yeah.
I'm missing so many here. I only have four songs today, so
yeah.
I had to cut a lot out.
Well, but you know what? That's the nice thing about music is there's always somewhere else to go. It doesn't matter what you do, what you put down on the page, what you select for a radio show. There's always a step further you can go, and that's what I hope the folks at home are listening to. They're hearing new bands and new songs and maybe digging a little deeper for themselves.
Yes. That was our intention. So
absolutely.
Hopefully that's happening, yeah.
So, Greg, I'll pitch it to you. I think you've got the honors of the first selection today.
I do, and I think we went a little too long without playing any Led Zeppelin songs.
Ah, yes.
Which was a whole 1 week.
A whole 1 week.
It's probably one of my favorite Zeppelin songs, and like I said, it's keeping that theme of kind of changing up the song in the background here. Before I just shut it off, it was Robert Johnson, an old blues man, a song called Travel in Riverside Blues, written in like 1936, I think.
Good Lord.
A long time ago.
Man.
And Zeppelin in 1969 recorded this at the BBC, never got released until they released a box set in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a terrific riff, obviously. Very cool. on the slide guitar at the beginning. So just
awesome.
Get into it.
Awesome.
Travel in Riverside Blues, Led Zeppelin. Josh?
Yes, sir.
Music just isn't the same now.
Why is
that?
I
know a lot of people say that, but you know, you look back and it's like you hear that there's a certain lyric in it where they says, I want you to squeeze my lemon till the juice runs down my leg.
Yes,
and
sir.
Just, that's, we all know what he's talking about.
Yes. Yes, we do.
But it's like
lemonade, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you. But it's just, there's so many more artistic ways of putting it. And yet you listen to the radio now, top 40 music, and there's no art in just saying, sexy things.
It kind of pains me because I always thought I'd be the guy that didn't become the person that sits there and says, music's not the same these days. But I totally have. And I would encourage, I guess, I would expect my children will say something like that at some point. When my children come to exist, which they don't at this point.
Let's hope that, I was going to say, let's hope that hangs off for a bit, but
yeah,
whatever happens, happens.
That's right. So, as I was saying, I had a really hard time picking songs, and the next one up is a real favorite of mine. For those of you carefully listening, in the background, you will hear, very popular song. It's Manfred Mann's Earth Band playing Blinded by the Light. And what's interesting here is last week I cheated a bit and played a Police song from 1979, even though we were talking about the 80s. And I'm kind of cheating again today, but I think this is really important. Blinded by the Light, as released by Manfred Mann, the one we hear in the background here, was released in 1977. And what's interesting about this is it's provided Bruce Springsteen his only number one hit as a songwriter. So the song was written by Bruce Springsteen. And if you listen to it, and if you're an avid Bruce Springsteen fan, you could sit and listen to these lyrics and you wouldn't have anyone to tell you it was Bruce Springsteen. You could tell it's a Springsteen song just by the lyrics. So really what I'd like to play for everyone now is the original version of this song. So actually, what we're listening to in the background is the cover. Originally written in 1972 and released on the album Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. This is going to be Bruce Springsteen singing his song. Before I get started, though, I do want to clear something up. There is a whole host of, humorous anecdotes about a lyric included in this song that revolves around a particular feminine hygiene product. Ladies and gentlemen, this is in fact a popular misconception. The original lyric is cut loose like a deuce, and Manfred Mann changed it to revved up like a deuce. Draw whatever conclusions you might want from, if you don't know, the misconceived lyric, but it has nothing to do with feminine hygiene products. Ladies and gentlemen, what a segue. This is Bruce Springsteen with Blinded by the Light.
Summer with a teenage diplomat in the dumps with the mumps as the adolescent pumps his way into his hat, with a boulder on my shoulder feeling kind of older, I trip the merry-go-round with this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing, the Calliope crashed to the ground. Some old hot hat shot was heading for a hot spot, snapping his fingers, clapping his hands. In some flesh pop mask, I was tied to a lover's knot with a whatnot in her hand. And now young Scott with a slingshot finally found a tender spot and throws his lover in the sand. And some bloodshot, forget me not, whispered daddies with an earshot, save the buckshot, turn up the band. Cyclone rolling stone, breacher fire. mind on the feeling of romance. Yeah, he was blinded by the light. Oh, cut loose like a goose, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. He got down, but he never got tight. But he's gonna meet you tonight. Some silicone sister with a manager. Safe to go outside. And little Whirly Pearly came by in her curly whirly and asked me if I needed a ride. Oh, some halfling from Harvard, the skunk on beer was playing backyard bombardier. Yes, man, Scotland Yard was trying hard. They sent some dude with a calling card and said, do what you like, but don't do it here. Well, I jumped up, turned around, spit in the air, fell on the ground, asked him which was the way back home. He said, take a right at the light, keep going straight until night, and then, boys, you're on your own. And now in Zanzibar, shooting stars, riding in a sidecar, humming a lunar tune. Yes, I'm the avatar, step below the bar, the first to move the cooking jar, we're gonna teach those boys to laugh too soon. And some kidding that handicap was complaining that he caught the clap from some mousetrap he bought last night. Well, I unsnapped the stove cap between his ears. I saw a gap and figured he'd be all right. He was divided by the light. Cut loose like a goose, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Mama always told me not to look into the sight.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the second time on our program, we've got The Boss. And I really think, I mean, I've got a personal connection to The Boss. I talked about it in our first episode when we played Thunder Road. I really think my parents groomed me to like this gentleman. I remember very, very distinctly getting a birthday present probably when I was 7 or 8, and it was a little plastic sort of toy electric guitar, and emblazoned across the front of it was The Boss.
Nice.
So, you know, it was a part of my childhood. Next song up, I love it when Greg lets me be selfish and puts two of my songs one after another. It's it becomes the Josh Show momentarily, and I enjoy it, Greg. Thank you. We've got my next choice coming up here is something a little unique. Greg mentioned earlier before our last song that the music today just isn't the same. But in a really real sense, the world isn't the same. Social media, the internet has changed the way people not only produce music, but definitely listen to music and find new music. And this is a very recent addition to my list of favorite covers. I stumbled across this probably about 2 weeks ago on YouTube. It's become a YouTube sensation. It's two gentlemen by the name of Schulich and Hauser covering Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal, which we hear again in the background here, covering it, but they're cellists. The entire song is played on the cello. They did this back in January of 2011, and most recently performed it live on the Ellen DeGeneres Show on April 25th, after this YouTube hit. So guys, sit back and be ready for a creative interpretation of Smooth Criminal, but it's just as hard-hitting and sort of pounding as the first one. Here's Schulich and Hauser with Smooth Criminal.
We'll be right back.
Eat your heart out, Yo-Yo Ma. That's all I can say. What an awesome, awesome, awesome instrument the cello is.
It is very interesting to listen to people play those kinds of instruments.
Yeah, I was actually originally, Greg, I was thinking of doing, there's that whole group, I don't even remember what they're called, but they do tons of metal songs. These two guys that do Metallica covers and Lamb of God covers and stuff all on the cello, and it's pretty nuts.
Lamb of God.
Yeah, they do some really serious metal stuff. Yeah.
There's a lot of riffing. That would be interesting.
You know what? They're good. It's not these two guys, but you should check them out. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I forget the name. I'll try and come back next week with the name of the two guys that do this. But yeah, two guys that do a lot of heavy metal covers on the cello too.
Wicked. Well, I'm going to thank you for bringing some elegance and class to our to our show.
Don't I always, Greg?
Fair enough. Well, I guess that song in particular. But if you'll excuse me, we're going to get a little dirty.
Oh, I like it.
Dirty. As you can hear in the background, another classic. I picked two very old songs, I guess, the originals. 1937 was mm-hmm. Robert Johnson. This is 1947.
Ten years.
Yes, Hank Williams.
Uh-huh.
The original, Hank Williams, with a song called Move It On Over. And it was a very, very kind of influential song because we mm-hmm. talked about this. It's almost identical to Rock Around the Clock,
yes.
which was the very first rock and roll number one hit
yep.
as a rock and roll song that was considered rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost identical to this song.
Song structure-wise, you're saying?
Yeah, song structure.
Okay, cool.
But this is the very dirty cover. A guy who actually made a name off of just covering songs, basically, for two albums in a row, I think, to get his career started. George Thorogood and Very the cool. Destroyers. And Move It On Over, as George is saying. He's gonna get us a little dirty here. So
awesome.
Let's get into that. Move It On Over.
I come in last night about a 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in. So move it on over.
dog's moving in.
I was just saying to Josh while I was going, there's something very, very predictable about the blues. I picked two blues songs already, I guess. There's something very predictable, yet something very enjoyable about listening to the blues.
Absolutely. Well, it's some familiarity in song structure sometimes is key to the enjoyment of a song. Mm-hmm. You know where it's going, and there's some comfort in that.
Yeah, totally.
So our next song is probably the cover that sounds the least like the original out of the whole group. Would you agree, Greg?
Well, I think the switch in genres is what makes it.
Yeah, like an enormous switch in genres. Yes. It's not taking a blues song and putting it into sort of a classic rock context, which has a blues influence. It's a total, bipolar shift.
We might be talking absolute opposite ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely. Well, this next song is a cover of what you hear in the background. Again, Greg has very cleverly sort of been putting the originals before each song. 1994, Snoop Doggy Dogg released his second single, Gin and Juice, which has become a popular sort of mainstay in classic West Coast hip-hop folklore. But this next group, this is another recent addition. I said to Greg earlier in the show that I had a really hard time picking my favorite covers, and what was kind of neat is over this past week as I was trying to think of covers, I was thinking of newer songs that had recently affected my life, and I got to give a shout out to my friend Alex. Alex actually showed me this cover quite literally 2 days ago, and I was smitten. I was immediately smitten. I got a soft spot for bluegrass, and this is a group called The Gourds, who covered the song originally in 1998 as part of a Go Get Your Shinebox EP, but it was later released in their actual full-length 2007 album, Shinebox. So here is the bluegrass rendition of Gin and Juice by The Gourds, originally by Snoop Doggy Dogg.
So much drama in ABC, it's kind of hard being Snoop. Something for the G's, and make a few friends as a breeze through. Don't you know it's 2 a.m. and our party's still jumping, cause my mama ain't home. I got the bitches in the living room getting it on, and they ain't leaving till 6 a.m. So what you want?
you can almost hear the smirks on the faces of the guys in the gourds listening to that song. You know that they know what they're doing is funny. I love it.
It's I'm a little torn on it. I don't want to say I don't like it. It's not my style. I don't like country music to begin with.
Fair enough.
Sitting here sober listening to it, I'm like, it's funny. I imagine if I was sipping on gin and juice.
You might even like it.
I'd be like, wow, this is hilarious, and I would probably jam along to it, you know. But interesting for sure.
I'm a little bit of a sucker for some of the country stuff. My dad spent his formative years in university in Texas, so there's a little bit of a Texan in all of us, Craigs at the Craig household. But Greg, I got a question for you.
Shoot, buddy.
What do you get when you mix the man who wrote the Chevrolet jingle, a former porn star, and one of the most influential metal bands of all time?
I know exactly what the answer is.
What is it, Greg?
It's the video to Turn the Page.
It's right. It's the video to Metallica's version of Turn the Page.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the next selection. Greg has been lovely enough to grace me once more with the privilege of doing two songs in a row. I love this song. I knew Metallica before this song. I liked Metallica before this song. But maybe it was where I was when I saw the video the first time. Maybe it was the age I was. I don't really know. But I remember so distinctly seeing this video for the first time and going from liking Metallica to loving them.
It's quite impactful. I will give you that.
It's a great one. So the original was written in 1973 by Bob Seger, and it was included on his Back in 72 album. And it's really about the hardships of life as a musician on the road. Written sort of late at night on a tour bus driving through the Midwest. A couple of interesting lines in the song reflecting how some of the country bumpkins on the truck stops viewed some long-haired disheveled guys walking in, comments on, is that a man or a woman, which you will hear in the song. But the Metallica version, really through its video, through no lyrical changes, but through its video, shifted the meaning of the song, less about sort of, it turned it more into sort of a story about a woman who is stripping and prostituting herself to support her young daughter. It's a single mother. The lady in the video does a very convincing job. She's former adult star, Ginger Lynn Allen. No, Mom, I didn't know that just by looking at her. I had to look it up. But, you know, that's an important little
you had
segment
to point
there.
That out. You
I do.
To.
I have for those that I love and care about, I need them to know that my research skills stretch far beyond your typical essay writing stuff. But guys, without further ado, I love this song. It's awesome. The slide guitar and saxophone has been replaced by Kirk Hammett wailing away on the guitar. This is Turn the Page by Metallica.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, listen to the engine moaning out his one old song. You think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours. Nothing much to do, and you don't feel much like riding. You just wish the trip was through. Here I am on the road again.
the fires ringing in your head. You smoked the day's last cigarette, remembering what she said. What she said.
Coming from 1998's Garage Inc. album, that is Metallica with Turn the Page. And Greg, I'm going to turn the page over to you now.
Good segue. That was, we don't have a lot of segues, but that was a good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Yeah, certainly that was, Metallica was a bit of a primer here to, I guess the rest of our lineup here is kind of heavy, mm-hmm. even though the last song's kind of toned down. But definitely we're going to get a little more.
End with a bang, right?
Yeah, we're gonna get a little bit more rowdy here.
Awesome.
I put this in because it's one of my favorite covers.
Yeah.
It doesn't vary much from the original, a little. But I'm going to play in a ball hockey tournament in Montreal next weekend.
All right.
And before every time I play hockey, the past year and a half to 2 years,
mm-hmm.
I always listen to this song before I play.
Really?
And it gets me absolutely riled up.
Does it?
And I'm not, you know me for a few months now. I don't look like a person who gets riled up.
No,
I don't.
You're a man of passion, but it's always a passion checked with a good bit of how do I put this? You're a casual guy.
Yes.
You're a casual guy.
And I agree with that. So, but this puts me in like a totally different mind frame.
Yeah.
So when I head to Montreal to play some Frenchmen, it's on, for lack of better words.
But, allons-y.
There was a whole album, two of them actually, mm-hmm. Nativity in Black 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
Solely dedicated to the masters of metal, as mm-hmm. If you want to put it that way, Black Sabbath, Children of the Grave, and a shock, I don't know what you want to call them, shock metal, groove metal, yeah. But it certainly comes through, and this is elements of both, White Zombie, the precursor to Rob Zombie, who may be more popular.
Probably at this point, yeah. But White Zombie is I prefer them.
Yeah. Oh, they're talking about, like, yeah, it's the groove metal is what gets me, and it just puts me in this movie. You have to listen. Like, at the beginning of our show, we say, what does Dr. Dre say? This should be listened to at high volumes.
Preferably in a residential area.
This needs to be cranked up. You need to turn up your speakers because it is meant to be loud. So here's Children of the Grave, White Zombie.
bludgeoned 9 people to death, committing one of the most heinous crimes in history.
Wow, that totally that floored me. I've never heard the White Zombie cover of that song before. That was awesome.
It's grooving, eh? You're a headbang. I saw you.
Oh yeah, it makes me wish. We were talking about Greg. Greg's got longer hair than I. I don't usually say that. I usually have pretty long hair, and it's rare for me to say that. But longer hair than I, and I'm a little jealous of your ability to whip it around.
Well, I'm gonna relish that for the next 28 days or so because it's getting all chopped off.
Oh yeah,
July 1st.
The data set? You actually you've set a date?
July 1st. I have to make an appointment. It's a pretty big haircut for me, so I'm not really willing to just go to anybody. So I had to go. I had to set a date to go home back to Cambridge.
Well, I hope you're as potent as you are now with your long hair. If you're like Samson and they cut your locks off and your production abilities seem to drop off, I'm gonna have to force you to grow your hair back.
If they do, then yes, I will. But I assume nothing will change.
I'm sure nothing will. So the next song, I really feel like this has been a happy day for me. You've been gracious and let me sort of pick a lot of songs I love. This is all great. This is my chance to highlight the reputation of a band who is no longer with us, and my favorite band of all time, perhaps. I know that's a very big claim to make, but in a really real way, this is my favorite band, period. Group of guys out of Burlington, Ontario, named Grade, who are really considered forerunners of the hardcore punk movement. It's really funny. They did not garner a great deal of attention here in Canada, outside of the hardcore scene, but they really, really, really are referenced over and over and over again for their influence on sort of the monsters of the genre today. Back in a time when the word screamo didn't even exist, these guys had some elements of that and definitely influenced some modern screamo bands. Grade broke up. I think the personalities eventually just clashed. And it's a darn shame. I was fortunate enough to see them for the first time on stage two at the infamous Edgefest, where Cake left the stage after two songs because we all threw water bottles at them. I kind of regret that. That was something I wish I hadn't taken
that
apart
was mean.
In. But it wasn't very nice, and I've come to actually enjoy Cake a lot more now. But, you know, a lesson learned. Fine, fair enough. But the first time I heard Grade was back then. They broke up almost immediately after that, and I had the fortune of getting tickets to their reunion show at the Opera House. Oh, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, they played one show. There was a plane load of people from Germany and a plane load of people from Texas who came in, and then my girlfriend, myself, and my brother. And it was awesome. Got to meet all the guys in the band and basically act like a little girl meeting Britney Spears. I was all excited. So this is Grade covering an awesome, awesome Van Halen song. You guys know I like Van Halen. I talked about them last week. This is Grade covering Panama, and they do a damn good job. Here we go. Man, I love that song. That just gets me so pumped up.
It was, I enjoyed the little halftime breakdown.
Yeah.
In the chorus.
You know, it's just
spice it up a bit.
They did, and they stayed pretty true to the structure. Actually, you and I were discussing, you know, it's pretty hard to, it's a daunting thing to take on an Eddie Van Halen song as a guitar player, and the guys in Grade did a pretty bang-up job.
It was, certainly decent. Maybe not, we have our sports radio jacks crew gracing us with their presence, kind of through the glass. They're listening, and
yes,
made out of suited Aaron Krolnick styles.
But you know what? Aaron's a man of discerning tastes, and I would never try to suit his style. I couldn't measure up to what AK, I guess, would like to see or hear.
Don't flatter him. Do not flatter him.
Oh man. So Greg, yeah, I've had my fill. I've been selfish. I've played lots of great songs I like. You have the honor once again, I think, of finishing us off with a song.
Two times in a row, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I guess I'll start by saying join us next week. We don't have a theme.
No, next week's theme is just going to be whatever the heck we please.
Exactly. So, you know, we don't want to do too many themes. So next week's is no theme. And maybe I'll play Amongst the Waves. Who knows?
Yeah.
For Aaron.
Who's fist pumping in the booth right now.
Really weird.
Get crazy. Get wild.
Anyway,
get
so, but yeah, so we'll see everybody next week. But this last song is it's actually a really interesting cover.
Mm-hmm.
Led Zeppelin coming up again. They showed up at the beginning of our show, but this is actually a cover of a Led Zeppelin song called No Quarter, which is off of Houses of the Holy, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But Tool, who is a very, very interesting band.
Yeah.
Very dynamic and spacious and whatever you want to call it.
Well, they're kind of the whole package, too. Yeah. They're a full assault. You know, you see those guys in concert, and it's sound, it's sight, it's everything.
Yes, totally. So in 2000, they released a box set, and one of the songs that they did was this very, very good cover of No Quarter, which is what I'm going to play for you next, and this will be it for this week. So,
great, guys. Well, yeah, Greg, it must be the end of the show. Your cream soda is running on empty there, so we're towards the end of everything. Guys, thanks so much for joining us for the third episode. I really look forward to having you back next week. Greg, thanks again for all the help with the production.
Hey. My pleasure.
That's my pleasure, Greg. Thanks again, guys.